Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. We want to invite you to open up your Bibles with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 17 and verse 20. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hands and our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now ready to give you a Bible. Our goal here is to teach you the Word of God. And so if you'd like a Bible, we'd certainly love to give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. You can keep that one. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason you just weren't able to bring it to church with you this morning, you can give that Bible back to the ushers at the end of the service. We're opening those Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 20. Before we do, I want to make mention of a couple of things. Number one, if you attend the 10 o'clock service, which obviously I'm assuming most of you do, you're here at the 10 o'clock service. This is our main service for welcoming visitors as well, in the sense of this is a service where the most visitors come. So we're asking people, if at all possible, if you attend the 10 o'clock, if you can attend the 8:30 or the 11:30 service to kind of free up space in the 10 o'clock. We have some open seats, but these seats, they're kind of close. So for an enjoyable experience, we're trying to free some space up. So if you can adjust your schedule, that'd be wonderful. If not, just keep on coming to 10 o'clock and we're going to have a wonderful time here. The other thing I want to talk to you about real briefly here is back last year at the end of the year, the Lord really began to deal with my heart about starting up a men's ministry here at the church. You know, as the church continues to grow and continues to grow larger, there are a lot of different things that people would like to see your church offer and your church do. And there's a lot of things we could do and a lot of things that we could throw our attention at and start up. But I'm a big believer that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Meaning there's no shortage of things you could do that would be good things, but that doesn't mean it's always God for your church to offer, for your church to do. But this men's ministry, the Lord really dealt with my heart to do it. It's not just something I want to do. But I feel like it's something he wants to do in this church. And so we have a lot of different things that we offer for men, but primarily right now, this morning, I want to talk to you about two because both of them are coming up. The first one is that I want to talk to you about is coming up in March. It's at the end of March, and it's where we get together as men. It's open for all men, whoever wants to come, either in this church or outside of the church. To come, and it's kind of an extended men's meeting in the sense of it's more than just an hour. You come in and there is praise and worship, men leading other men in worship. Then I will get up and teach out of the book of Proverbs. My father went home to be with the Lord when I was 17 years old, and I was reading the book of Proverbs one day, and I saw and interpreted it for myself that it was God speaking to his boys. If you've ever read the book of Proverbs, you see over and over again the words, my son, my son, my son. And so that really helped me and made me a great, as good of a man as I can be. By looking at that and taking the instruction that God was writing to his sons and applying that in my life. And so what we're doing in the Mighty Men meetings, which is the meeting I'm talking to you about first, that's in the end of March there, is we're going to have praise and worship, and then I'm going to teach out of the book of Proverbs. It's lessons for men. Men, let me tell you this. There's a satisfaction that nothing else can give you other than being able to put your head on a pillow at night and know that you are a good man, that you are a Christian man, that you're a good husband, a good father. We want to give you the skills and teach you how to make the most of your manhood, to maximize it and be the man that God has called you to be. And so we want to invite you to come out to that. After I teach, we'll have a meal, and that event is free. There's no cost for it whatsoever, no admission. We're going to do it every other month, so we'll do six of them a year where men can come, get together, have some time of fellowship, have some time of praise and worship, teaching out of the book of Proverbs, a good meal, and it's all for free. So like we said with the women, no price means no excuse. You can come out to it. We want to invite you to come. There's more information information about it out there in the foyer. You can sign up for it as there as well. Even though it is free, we still need you to sign up where we know how much food to buy. We don't want to waste any of our resources. The second event that we have is an event that meets every month, the first Monday of the month, from 7 to 8 over at Table 100. And it's called Power Up. And what Power Up is it's where Christian businessmen get together. And during that, not only do we eat breakfast, but I will interview a Christian businessman and ask him how he's achieving success in business. But most importantly, how Christ has impacted his life and how Christ has impacted his business. It's a wonderful resource. We've got one coming up here the first Monday in March from 7 to 8. Once again, at Table 100, I'm going to be interviewing an ex-Ole Miss defensive lineman named Jesse Mitchell. He's a member of our church, is now a lawyer in the community. And I'm excited about that. We're going to have a good time. I took him to lunch the other day, and man, I was just sitting there listening to him and thinking, oh, I'm glad I'm interviewing you. He's got a lot of wisdom and just a lot of exciting stories. And so we want to invite you to come out to that. That one you have to sign up for, and there is a cost of admission because we want to pay the people at Table 100. It's a restaurant down there in Flowood for opening up their conference center to us, as well as their staff cooking the food and all that kind of stuff. So it's only $8 a person, though. And we want to invite not only you, but any other businessmen who want to come. During that session, we're going to give an altar call as well, as we always do, for anybody there who may need to accept Christ. Jesus said that's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God because they oftentimes operate so much in their mind that it's hard for them to accept things of the Spirit. And so our goal here is whether you own your own business or you're wanting to succeed in your career, where you hear other people who are doing those things talk about Christ. And talk about how you can be a good businessman and at the same time be a good Christian, be a good father, serve God with your life. And so maybe it'll open up some doors for some other businessmen to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior as well. So I want to invite you to sign up for those two things and to come out to them. I think they will be a blessing to you. Here in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, this scripture has been our golden text for the series that we've been teaching on faith. Let's read it here. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," just itty bitty faith, "you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible unto you." Jesus has uttered a marvelous statement that when you take whatever faith you have, whether you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and you have great big faith, or you've just started out and you've got itty bitty faith, if you just take the faith that you have and you use that faith in your life, that nothing would be impossible to you. And so what we've been endeavoring to do in this series is to get you and to get me to do what the Bible tells us to do, to live by faith, to not live this life apart from God, but to rather invite God with our faith to help us in all the affairs of life. We said that we want to use our faith for desires. God's such a wonderful heavenly Father. Wasn't that a great message Reverend Terry Law preached last Sunday? God's such a wonderful heavenly Father, and He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to bless you because you're His children. So we talked about how to use faith for that. But we said we shouldn't stop there. We also need to know how to use our faith for needs that arise in our life. We said that faith does not mean you will live this life without any problems. It's almost as if faith has gotten a bad rap because people have preached that if you're really a man of faith, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. But we looked at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were in faith and still got thrown into the fire. That faith does not mean that your life won't face different attacks. But what faith does mean is that in the middle of those attacks, no harm is coming to you. No harm is coming to your family because you're lifting up that great, powerful shield of faith which quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. We talked about how to do that. But we're not to stop there either. You and I are called to live a life more for ourselves. And friend, if there's one thing that stops this Christian message from doing what God intended it to do in the earth, it is selfishness. And it seems as if with this subject of faith that people have heard it preached and people have taught it and they're learning to use it for those first two things, faith for desires and faith for needs. And that's good, but when I read my Bible, I see that they use their faith far more for another thing. That when I read the prayers of Jesus and I read the prayers of Paul, that when they prayed, when they were using their faith, 9 times out of 10, it wasn't for themselves. It was to establish the kingdom of God in other people. They were praying prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. They were praying for the church at Ephesus that they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they would know what is the hope of their calling, and they would pray prayers for other people. Friend, I want to encourage you, God's given you a wonderful tool, a tool called faith, that if you learn how to use it and master it, you can see impossibilities vanish in your life, in your career, but not just in those arenas, in the lives of others as well. I want to ask you a question. I asked it to first service. I want to ask it to you. You don't have to think out loud, but I want to encourage you to really think about this. Really ask yourself this question. Here's the question. If all the prayers you prayed for last week came true this week, what would be different in the world? If all the prayers you prayed last week, I mean, God answered them this week. Yes to that one. Yes to this one. He manifested those results this week. What would be different in the world? I told the other service, I said, I think maybe for a lot of people, the only thing would be different was their food wouldn't provide any sickness to their body, that the food that we ate would be blessed. Maybe for a couple of other people, maybe they finally got that man they've been praying for years and years. Or maybe some other people got a new home or got a new job. But what would be different in the world if all our prayers were answered this week? Friend, my goal in this series is to get you to use your faith. To really pray some big, bold prayers for your life, for your kids, for your family, for your career. To really pray some big, bold prayers. But it would all be for naught if I just got you to do it for you. I want you to do it for others. That in your own prayer life, you take one hand upon someone, another hand on God, and you pray and bring the two together. In your own prayer life, you realize that my prayers really can help this nation succeed. That my prayers, they really can make this nation holier. That my prayers really can have an effect on politicians. That's why the Bible instructs us to pray for them. That my prayers really can make a difference in a poverty-stricken community. Now somebody said, well, not me. I mean, I'm not that skilled of a prayer. It's so funny with this subject of prayer. It's almost like you have Christians, and then part of the Christian walk, you have your prayers over here. And so it's kind of like, well, we'll let the prayers do the praying because that's what the prayers do. And the reason why we think that way is we think, man, I'm just a little old me. And, you know, I haven't really learned the things of Christ like I know these other people have. And so can really my prayers really make a difference in the economy? Could my prayers really make a difference to our president? Could my prayers really make a difference in crime rates? And, you know, I know prayer can, but can my prayer? And so we think like that. And so because of that, we don't pray. But I want you to see from this scripture, it's not how eloquent you are when you pray. It's so funny to me, people praying in King James, Elizabethan English. And you come in prayer meetings and you're there and you're not maybe as quite as skilled in prayer. And you didn't go back the last time because they asked you to join hands with the person next to you. And on one hand, you had dead fish guy. I mean, his hand didn't move at all. And it's kind of like, just wake up and then, you know, pray. And then on the other hand, you got the excited guy who he's praying so loud. And with every loud voice, he's squeezing your hand more and more. And then you got the other guy who won't let go of your hand after the prayer is ended, and you're thinking, no, it shouldn't be that way. And because of that, you didn't go back. I don't know why I got off on that. I don't do any of those things. But my point is it's almost like prayer is this thing that's beyond us. And for that reason, people really do limit their prayer life to praying over their food. That's the highest extent that their prayer goes every week. And God is saying, guys, you've got me at your disposal. Whatever you want me to be in, whatever you want me to work on, all I need is your voice in the earth asking me to do it. And if you would lift up that voice in prayer, that your prayers, even if you got born again yesterday and you just got itty bitty faith, if you open your mouth and speak, open your mouth and say and release that prayer to God, that God can work in this earth. God can work in other people's lives. See, in your life, there are going to be things that you see that I will never see. People that you meet that I will never meet. Things that you could be reading the newspaper and one thing arrests your heart that I read right over and my heart is arrested by something else. Maybe you see a news report and your heart becomes concerned. My goal in teaching this morning is when those types of things happen, that you do not just sit back and do nothing and think, well, I could not do anything really about that. My goal is for you to see that you can do something about it. That when your heart is arrested in something that seems so much bigger than you that you couldn't do in your own natural strength, that you are not limited according to what you can do. That God is saying, I can come on the scene if you will just release your faith. Nothing will be impossible to you. I'm going to show you how this works. Go over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. You're in Matthew, so just go back a couple of chapters. To Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. On the screens, if you can pull up Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 through 7 in the Amplified. On the screens, Isaiah 62, verses 6 through 7 in the Amplified. We're looking at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 in our Bibles. It says in Matthew 9 and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Let's read that phrase again, verse 36. But when he saw, notice that, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Notice Jesus, he's doing what he always does. He's just living life. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's teaching in synagogues. He's healing the sick. He's living his life. And in the process, he comes to this one moment in life and he sees some people. He's not looking for them. He's just living his life. And as he's living, he sees some people. But when he sees them, something happens in his heart that I don't know if it happened to the other people, but I know it happened to him. When he saw him, his heart went out to him. His heart was moved with compassion to them. And he saw that these people, they were fainting because they didn't have any shepherds. They didn't have people to speak into their lives, words of life. And the job was too big for him, but he didn't just sit there with sympathy for these people. He didn't just sit there and say, oh, I wish it was different in the world. He didn't complain about it. You know what he did? He let his compassion move him to prayer. Pray ye therefore that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest. He knew that there's something he could do. What was bigger than his own natural strength, he didn't just let that be the case. He took his natural strength over into prayer where he could get the strength of God. Jesus was moved with compassion by what he saw. See, in your life, as you live your life, you don't have to do anything special. Just live. If you're born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And as you just live your life, you'll come across things. You'll come across people. You'll come across ministries that arrest your heart, that touch your heart. And the people, the ministries, the things that touch your heart may not touch the heart of someone else, but it's touching your heart. And when those things touch your heart, what I'm asking you to do, and what I think God is asking every Christian to do, is to not just have sympathy for those people, to not wish things were just different in Israel or in Iran, not wish the economy would change, but to do something about it. To let that compassion by what we see move us over into a place of prayer to establish the kingdom of God in that community, in that nation, in that leader's life. There's a scripture here in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6 in the Amplified. And he's talking to the nation of Israel, the people who are in Jerusalem. And he says, I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem. At this point, Jerusalem was a walled city. And so you could imagine if we built a wall around Flowood or a wall around Jackson for protection, that it would be impossible for you to stand on that wall and to see all the outlying area. And so what they would do to protect their city from danger, they would set multiple people as watchmen up on the walls. And it was their job to stay in this area and to see the area that was in front of them. They couldn't see the area that was behind them. It was too far away. But they could see what was right in front of them. And it was their job to look out for danger, to see when something wasn't quite right. And when they would see something that wasn't quite right, they would lift up their voice based off of what they saw. Now, someone over here in this area of the wall, they maybe didn't see anything. It looked, everything was peachy keen to them. But for this watchman, he saw something in his field of view and his line of sight. What he saw made him lift up his voice to alert the nation that they may be under attack. And he's saying spiritually, this is how it is. And once you're born again, you become a watchman. And as a watchman, there are some things that maybe you see, people you run across. Maybe it's people who are real close to you. A husband, a child, a neighbor whose son is hooked on drugs. A child who's completely turning away from Christ, who lives three houses down. Or it could be you heard a minister talk about how they were using their funds and resources to stop human trafficking, to stop girls from being abducted and forced to do terrible things. And when you heard things like that, something arrested your heart. Your heart was moved with compassion. And maybe 100 other people heard that minister talk about that. But when he talked about it, when she talked about it, it arrested your heart. See, you're a watchman. God's made you one. And your goal is to not just establish the kingdom of God in your life, to have all of your desires and all of your needs met, but to also start meeting the desires and needs of other people, other nations, other ministries. And when you see that in your line of sight as a watchman, I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants and by your prayers put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence. Go down to the next scripture, verse 7. And give him, being God, no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. He's saying that as a watchman, there are going to be things that touch your heart. It could be once a month something comes up, or it could be every time you see that person, your heart goes out to them. When that happens, friend, you are not to just sit back and do nothing. You are not to keep silent. You are to lift up your voice to God in prayer. Take one hand on that person, one hand on that situation, the other hand on God in prayer, and bring the two together. You're to keep praying for them. Keep praying for that thing until God makes it a praise in the earth. Until that ministry has its bills paid. Until that kid comes off of drugs. Until that woman is healed from cancer. You're to never not hold your peace. You're to keep praying until God moves in that situation. That's what living a life of faith is all about. Establishing the kingdom of God there. Just last week, me and my family, we took a family vacation down to Disney World there in Orlando. We had a great time. And we were fortunate to do it because both of our kids now, neither one of them are in kindergarten. So they're 5 and 4. And so we were able to go down there when, you know, it's not crowded and summer where it's hot and all of those things. Had a great time. But at the end of the trip, we didn't take a rental car. We just took a taxi from the airport to Disney and then took the shuttle system. And so to get back to the airport, I took a taxi. And the taxi that came up to me, the driver got out of the car and, you know, helped us with the baggage. And immediately before he said anything, I could sense a tugging on my heart. Now, this is a person that I would dare say none of you will ever meet. None of you will ever see. But in my field of sight, he came up over the area that I was watching, the life that I was living. I saw a need there. Without him ever saying anything, my heart went out to him. My wife and children, they got in the back seat. I got in the passenger seat next to him. And I started talking to him. And he started telling me thank you for actually caring about his day. He was a man from Arabian descent. And he was saying how amazing it was how many people would get in that car and treat him bad just because of the color of his skin. That they would harass him and not pay attention to him, not care about him, criticize every move that he would make, and question whether or not he was taking the wrong way. He said so many people just get in there and after the ride just hop out of the car and not even pay him. And so I was talking to him about some of those things. And he said, you know, I could handle it when I was single, when I didn't have a family. But he said, you know, now I got a wife and I got 2 kids. And he said, most days I have to work 16 hours a day just to be able to provide for my family. So I'm not able to see him, and that's including Saturday and Sunday because that's 2 of the biggest tourist days there in Orlando. He said, I'm concerned that my kids are going to wake up one day and ask, who is this guy? Because they haven't seen me. He said, you know, I really do want to go work for the airport and be over work for one of the rental companies there, the car agencies. I really would love to get in there. He said, but the problem is because of different things, namely the color of his skin, that the managers over those places wouldn't give him the time of day because of his descent. And he said, you know, you could be the most qualified individual in all the world, but if you don't get in there and know someone, it's really hard to get any kind of headway. And so he's telling me all this, and the more he's telling it to me, I see why God put this person in my life. See, friends, there are people that come across your life that are not there by accident. That you were brought into their life for such a time as this to help establish the kingdom of God in their life. So we're talking and sharing, and anyway, it wasn't that long of a car ride, and I got out of the car, and I'm helping him with the luggage out of the trunk, and I felt led to bless him financially, just be a blessing to him. And he's so excited about that. I grab his hand and I tell him, I want you to know, I don't know what you believe. I said, I want you to know that from here on out, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying and asking God in the name of Jesus to come in your life in a great way. I believe that God's going to open up some doors for you where you don't have to work this job, where you can work in the jobs that you want. And I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. I got a cell phone number and put it in my phone where I can call him periodically to just check on him. Friends, I want to encourage you. Do something. There are people all around who need you. If you're in high school, there are teenagers who, if someone doesn't pray for them, their life will go in a wrong direction. There are things that the enemy would love to do in this world and different nations that if believers don't raise up their voice and pray, it will cause nations to go in a wrong direction. There are people who are oppressed and addicted that they need someone to pray so that their life can change directions. We all are familiar with the word intercession. It's a type of prayer. There's a word that's very familiar to us that comes from that word. It's also the word intersection. Have you ever been driving? You know, if any of you drive, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you come across an intersection, it's where two things meet. You know, before you may have been headed one way straight, but in the middle of that road, there was an intersection where another road came across it. One road was headed that way, but another road was coming across. And at that time, before, as you're going straight, if you want to change directions, you can't. Because there's no way to get off the road. But if there is an intersection, you have at that moment an opportunity to turn and change directions. That's what prayer is doing. A nation may be going down one track. A minister may be going down one track. A friend may be going down one track. And it's a track that's leading them to hurt and leading their life to pain. And you see it and you know it. And so you come up in prayer and you create an intersection with your prayers where their life at that moment has the opportunity to change directions. Job and his affliction, I'm sure all of you are familiar with the story of Job. He said in Job chapter 9 and verse 33, he said, what I need is a dazed man, someone who will lay his hand on me and lay another hand on God and bring the two together. Friend, I want to ask you, who have you been praying for? Who have you been lifting up in prayer? I don't say it to condemn, I say it to inspire. Prayer works. Prayer can change people. Prayer can change nations. Jesus saw Peter, someone who is very close to him. He saw Peter's life headed in a direction that it shouldn't go. Jesus knew it would cause him pain. He came to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And friend, I'm telling you, that's how he works. The enemy tries to come in into different organizations, different people, and tries to just tear apart that organization, tear apart people's lives. And Jesus saw Peter's life was headed in a wrong direction. He said, I'm seeing that Satan is desiring to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but he didn't stop there. He said, but, as Brother Dean always says, you got to get your butt in the right place. He said, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you, Peter. I've seen your life going in a wrong direction, but I have prayed for you. your faith fell not. And when thou art converted, not if, but when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Friend, I want to encourage you. Maybe you see something going in a wrong direction. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a city. Maybe it's whatever. You see it going in a wrong direction. No, you do have a tool that can change it. That your prayers can make a way for God to move in the life of someone. I'll tell you this story in closing. I was listening to a CD to prep for this morning service. And this pastor that I was listening to was telling a story about how he was preaching at another person's church as a guest speaker out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he was preaching down on the bottom floor like I do on Wednesday nights. And he came up to this lady. And when he came up to her, he had a word of wisdom. And he said, I sense as if that you know how to pray a husband out of sin and over into the things of the Lord. And he said when he said it, he was real nervous because he didn't know who her husband was. You know, it wasn't his church, so who knows? It could have been the associate pastor's wife or, you know, a deacon or someone. And so he said he was real nervous when he said it. But at the end of the service, the pastor came up to him. And he told her in that word of wisdom, that sense as if not only do you know how to do it, but you should start a small group to teach other women how to do it for their husbands. So the pastor came up to him at the end of the service. He said, you have no idea how right on you were with that word. He said, let me take you over to that lady where she can tell you her story. He took her over to the lady. And the lady told her told him her story. She said, I got born again at a very young age. And I got married to a man who didn't know God and really didn't want to know God. He was not a Christian. He was a good man, but he wasn't serving the Lord, going to church, and had never accepted Christ as his Savior. And she said, I knew if he was to die, he would go to hell. So she said, I made that my prayer target. She said, I would pray and pray and pray that he would come to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. She said, I prayed for 42 years. 42 years. What was she doing? She wasn't keeping silent, lifting up her voice to God until that man was a praise in the earth. 42 years. And she said, after 42 years, one day he took a business trip. He was a businessman. She said he took a business trip down to Florida. And she said, while he was there, he got in a car accident that took his life. And you can imagine how that would weigh on her faith. God, I prayed for 42 years. Where was your saving power? Where was your hand of deliverance? But she said about a month and a half after the funeral, she said she was sitting at the house and the phone rang. She picked it up, said hello, and a man was on the other end of the line and he asked, is so-and-so there? Talking about her husband. And she said, no, I'm sorry, I have to inform you that he passed away about a month and a half ago. He said, ma'am, do you mind me asking what day was it on? She told him the day. He said, ma'am, I don't know if you'll believe this or not, but he said, I'm a businessman. And I was in my office one day working in my suit and tie. And I just knew that I knew in my heart that I was to go out to the side of the road and hitchhike. He said, I've never done anything like that in my life. I had no reason to hitchhike. I was already where I needed to go. He said, but I just felt like I should do it, and I couldn't get away from it. So I walked out to the side of the road and put up my thumb to hitchhike. And sure enough, a car stopped. I got in the car, and who was behind the car was, or driving the car, was your husband. And as soon as I got in the car, the man said, I knew why I was there. So I asked your husband if he had ever accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. I told him the story how I didn't need to go anywhere really. I was just working and felt like I should hitchhike. And he said, I'm in your car now, not because I need to go somewhere, but because I need to tell you about Jesus. He said, when I said that, tears came down your husband's face. And he made a decision right then and there to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. She's weeping on the other end of the line because she realizes that her prayers were not in vain. That God heard every one of them. That he made an intersection in that man's life. That his life was going one way, but her prayers had made a different way that his life could go. And led him into eternity with Jesus. Friends, I want to encourage you. There are going to be different things, different people, different areas of life that touch your heart that maybe won't touch the hearts of anyone else in here. When they do, do not be silent. God lets you see that for a reason. You're the watchman over that area. When you see that, you are to lift up that person, lift up that place, lift up that organization to the Lord in prayer until he makes that situation a praise in the earth. I want to encourage you to do it. Lives could hang in the balance, but even more than that, eternal destinies could. Use your faith for desires, yes. Use it for needs, yes. Lift up the shield of faith, yes. But please don't stop there. Use your faith for others. Use your faith to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Every head bowed, every eye closed.